You're with us for The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being here. You have a line to Attorney General Josh Call this morning. Wisconsin will get a piece of a $1.6 billion settlement with the largest maker of generic opioid pain pills in the country, and the company is Mallinckrodt. The Attorney General announced the agreement last week. Wisconsin also joined a multi-state investigation into vaping company Juul. So how do you think Wisconsin should handle legal settlements involving state government? Should the legislature have a hand in these settlements? How do you feel about the lawsuit against pharmaceutical companies making opioids? Where do you think the settlement money should go? We're at 800-642-1234. Josh Call is the Attorney General of Wisconsin. Attorney General Call, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me again, Kate.
So we've learned more details about the victims and the shooter at Molson Coors in Milwaukee. And Governor Evers and State Representative Jonathan Brostoff of Milwaukee, they've used this moment to talk more about gun violence. What are your thoughts following this shooting?
Well, first, what happened in Milwaukee is just awful. I mean, we have seen these kind of tragic mass shootings around the country, and to see another one happen here in Wisconsin is really just gut-wrenching. DOJ has responded to the scene when this happened. Our Division of Criminal Investigation assisted and continues to assist with the investigation. And our Office of Crime Victim Services is available to provide support to people who've been impacted by this tragedy as well. So, my heart goes out to those who've been impacted. I do agree with the governor and with Representative Brostoff that we should be taking steps that we know can help prevent these kind of tragedies. There's no silver bullet. There's nothing that's going to stop all mass shootings. But there are steps that can help make our communities safer and reduce the likelihood that these will happen.
Are these policy steps?
And I think we need to take action.
Are these policy steps that you're talking about?
They are. That's right. I mean, I've been a vocal advocate for common sense gun safety measures. I think we need universal background checks and a red flag law, a law that would allow law enforcement officers or a family member to take action when somebody has been shown to a judge to be a danger to themselves or others. And we need the legislature to finally come together and have hearings on this issue and hopefully get something done.
So last Tuesday, you visited HSHS Sacred Heart Hospital in Eau Claire to discuss mental health. Why is mental health important to the DOJ?
A number of people who come into contact with the criminal justice system struggle with behavioral health issues, either a mental health issue or a substance use disorder. And by addressing those challenges, we can make our community safer. We can make it less likely that crime happens, and we can help people get treatment rather than ending up in the criminal justice system. So if we can strengthen the way that we're responding to those behavioral health issues, we're going to have safer communities. And when people do end up in the system, making sure that they get the help that they need to address their underlying issue, whether it's trauma or a mental health issue or a substance use disorder, can help reduce the likelihood that they're going to end up back in the criminal justice system. Which means better outcomes for those people, and it means safer communities because they're less likely to recidivate.
There was a bill that would give Sacred Heart and St. Joseph's Hospital $15 million more to expand and provide 22 psych beds. And State Senator Kathy Bernier told WQOW in Eau Claire that she expected it would pass despite limited time for lawmakers in session.
All the Democrats on the Assembly voted in favor. And so I expect that the Democrats in the Senate side will also vote in favor. And I haven't heard that anyone in my caucus, Republican caucus, is against. As far as I know, they're all in favor as well. So I expect it should be unanimous.
So with this funding, if it's passed, how would this bill help alleviate some of these mental health challenges?
One of the big challenges we face is with our emergency detention system in Wisconsin, and that's the system that applies if an individual has been identified by law enforcement due to a mental health issue or a substance abuse issue to be a danger to themselves or others, and a crisis intervention takes place. Right now, there's only one state facility that accepts all patients who are facing emergency detention, and that's in Winnebago County. And what happens as a result is that officers are transporting people who have been detained for emergency detentions, sometimes hours across the state to get to Winnebago County. The process is also cumbersome because it involves a medical clearance at a local hospital before somebody's transported to Winnebago County. It's bad for police because it means they're spending a lot of time in that process. And it's bad for people going through a mental health crisis because when we should be trying to get them access to treatment, they're instead going through this lengthy process. So by adding more mental health beds and by improving our emergency detention process, we can help get treatment to people who are going through a crisis faster, and we can save law enforcement resources that are currently being used in the transport process, which means more time can be spent by those officers working to keep our communities safe.
Talking with Josh Call, the Attorney General of Wisconsin, we're catching up with him on a range of issues involving work at the Justice Department. You can join in. Are you affected by the opioid crisis? How so? How has it hit home? What kind of responsibility do you feel pharmaceutical companies should have for combating addictions? We're at 800-642-1234 for you to join in. Email ideas at WPR.org. Attorney General, let's look at opioids. Wisconsin will get a share of this $1.6 billion settlement with the largest maker of generic opioid pills. And what are the guidelines, the framework for how this money should be used?
Well, right now, the details of that resolution are still in the process of being worked out. This is part of our broader strategy for how we're fighting the epidemic. I want to increase access to treatment in Wisconsin. I think we need to keep working to prevent people from becoming addicted to opioids or other substances. And we need accountability. And that includes accountability from pharmaceutical companies that engaged in false and deceptive marketing practices. Those companies made billions and billions of dollars off of this epidemic, and recovering funds that were obtained because of illegal marketing and sales practices means that we can get more funds to communities in Wisconsin to help support treatment and prevention. And so this is the resolution with one of the companies that was involved in opioid sales and marketing. This company is going to go into a bankruptcy, and there's going to be a bankruptcy process that will ultimately impact how the funds are allocated. But I want to see as many resources as possible from these resolutions going to support efforts that are going to abate the epidemic through treatment, through prevention, and through enforcement efforts.
Can you tell us about any updates on the status of the lawsuits from last year with Purdue Pharma and its chairman, Richard Sackler, former chairman?
Last year, we filed suit against two Purdue Pharma entities and Richard Sackler. That case right now is on hold because Purdue went into bankruptcy. Approximately half of the states in the country entered into a proposed settlement agreement with Purdue. We rejected that offer. I don't think it goes far enough when it comes to holding members of the Sackler family for their role in this epidemic. So the bankruptcy process is underway, and what happens in bankruptcy will impact ultimately how that case comes out. But again, our goal there is to maximize the recovery for the state of Wisconsin so we can get funds to our communities to help fight this epidemic.
We're talking with Attorney General Josh Call about pressing issues at the Justice Department. What questions do you have for the Attorney General? Are you a survivor of sexual assault? What do you think of how the state handles these cases? What do you think of the recent legislative impasse and the stalled legislation to prevent a future backlog of testing rape kits? Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a moment with Attorney General Josh Call right here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, it's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and we have Attorney General Josh Call on the line. We're touching down on a number of issues and priorities at the Justice Department, including stalled legislation on sexual assault kits. Are you a survivor of sexual assault? What do you think of how the state handles these cases? Join in at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. and Attorney General Josh Call stays with us. Let's go to the phones now with Mary joining us from Bayfield County this morning. Hi, Mary.
Hi. My question is about how are we going to rate treatment centers? I hear a lot in the news about we need to increase access to treatment for people struggling with substance use disorders. And based on what I've seen with family members and such, they're not very effective. I mean, I think that with opioids and meth, they have something like a 5% sobriety success rate after a year. And I'm just wondering how we are going to start, you know, making sure that these treatment centers, some of them which are for-profit treatment centers, actually are effective.
Delivering on results. Attorney General?
Yeah, well, first of all, thank you for that question. You know, when I was at Sacred Heart the other day, one of the things that we were talking about is the fact that often people need to return to treatment multiple times before ultimately treatment programs are successful. So, first of all, I encourage anybody who's had experiences with the process, but it hasn't been successful, to continue working at it, because the more times that people are able to attempt to get treatment, the more likely it is to be successful. But it is important that we look at the results that different facilities are having, and that we assess them based on how well people are doing once they've completed the treatment program. And one of the things that, you know, we talked about when I was at Sacred Heart is that it's often the case that people who end up with a substance use disorder also have other challenges they're facing. It's common to have.
Oh, and I think we just lost the Attorney General. Oh, are you still there, Attorney General? Can you hear us?
I am, yes.
Okay, carry on. You just dropped for a moment.
Sorry about that. I was mentioning that often people who have a mental health issue have some sort of co-occurring disorder, perhaps a mental health issue. And working to address those issues and also to provide any additional services, helping people get access to housing, stable employment, all those things contribute to successful recovery. And so making sure that we provide those kind of wraparound services can help people get back on their feet and beat their addictions.
Mary, thanks for the call. Attorney General, at the State of the Tribes address a few weeks ago, we heard Chairman of Forest County Potawatomi Community, Ned Daniels Jr., made a call for something to be done about opioids. Let's listen.
Native communities across Wisconsin have been hit especially hard by the opioid epidemic. There are hundreds of families like mine who are now caring for the young ones of relatives because of opioid addiction.
The state health department says Native Americans had the highest rate of opioid deaths of any ethnic group in 2018. What plans does the Justice Department currently have to work with tribes on this issue?
It's critical that we work together to fight this epidemic. And one of the ways we're doing that at the Department of Justice is on the enforcement side. We have a partnership that involves local, state, federal and tribal law enforcement, known as the Native American Drug and Gang Task Force. And what we do is we work together to impact and ultimately try to stop drug and gang activities that's impacting tribal communities. We also support funding for operations and equipment. We provide training, including recently providing a training to staff members at Ho-Chunk Casino and Hotel on drug trafficking identification. And we're also supporting treatment programs through our treatment alternatives and diversion programs. There are now three tribes that have those programs, and you know, I hope to see that program, the treatment alternatives and diversion program, expanded, and including to more tribes, so that, again, we can make sure that more people are getting the help that they need.
Attorney General Josh Call is with us as we move through a range of issues, looking at what is facing the state this year and in the State Justice Department. Your questions, your priorities for the Department of Justice at 800-642-1234. Attorney General, you tweeted recently that new legislation regarding sexual assault kits isn't about strengthening protections for survivors. You said it's about providing political cover for not passing the old assembly bill. What did you mean by that?
In April of last year, along with a bipartisan group of state legislators and subject matter experts, including nurses, representatives of law enforcement, and advocates for survivors, we introduced legislation that's designed to prevent Wisconsin from ever having another backlog of untested sexual assault kits. It's strong legislation. It would help us prevent a backlog, and it passed the Senate last year on a voice vote. The reason that that legislation hasn't become law is that the Assembly Republicans have refused to even hold a hearing on that legislation. Instead, near the end of session, they introduced an alternative bill that was problematic in a variety of ways. It included some divisive provisions, and they decided to pass that legislation rather than the bipartisan legislation that's passed the Senate. And so what has happened is the Assembly Republicans have effectively killed good legislation that can help prevent another backlog, and that's incredibly disappointing.
Well, knowing what you know now, do you have any 2020 hindsight about the political process on this bill? Would you have done anything differently in the drafting of it to get this legislation through?
No, unfortunately, Assembly Republicans have chosen to prioritize political point counting over getting something done. I mean, this was done with bipartisan support. One of the authors in the Assembly is a member of the Republican Party. We had 56 co-sponsors in the state assembly, so that's a majority of members of the state assembly. And as I said, this passed through the Senate on a voice vote. And, you know, the Senate, which is controlled by Republicans, has indicated that they don't want to take up the bill that the assembly passed. This is the committee chair, Representative Joe Sanfilippo, and Speaker Voss prioritizing political gains over getting something done that can help survivors of sexual assault. I think it's outrageous, and we're going to continue fighting to get something passed.
Do you see a growing backlog right now at all, or is the department on top of kits?
Well, I think it's important that we have this legislation in place so that we, in part because we need to know exactly what's going on around the state. I mean, the backlog that was first identified years ago happened because kits would sit in hospitals or in police evidence rooms and were never submitted to the state crime labs for testing. And one of the things that the bill that I support, that has the bipartisan support, would provide for is a collection of data by the Department of Justice regarding sexual assault kits. And that would allow us to see exactly what's going on with kits around the state. But in the meantime, what we're left to do is to call on hospitals and to call on law enforcement agencies to submit those kits in a timely fashion so that they're tested promptly. But the longer we wait to pass legislation, the more likely it is that we're going to have a recurrence of this problem. It's why it's important that we get legislation passed and that we learn the lessons that led to the prior backlog so it never happens here again in Wisconsin.
Let's spend some time now on vaping. A few days ago, you announced the Wisconsin would join 39 other states in a coalition against e-cigarette manufacturer Juul Labs. How will joining this lawsuit affect vaping among teenagers?
There's been an enormous increase in vaping in Wisconsin and nationally in the last few years. And Juul has been the primary driver of that increase. And one of the things that has been alleged is that Juul has engaged in marketing practices that targeted young people. And so what we are doing with this bipartisan group of nearly 40 states is working together to investigate the sales and marketing practices that Juul used to assess whether the representations that they made were accurate and whether they've been improperly targeting young people with their sales. And if they have been, we're going to take action.
And we
need to make sure that we are reducing vaping in Wisconsin.
What are your thoughts on raising the minimum age for tobacco and vaping from 18 to 21?
I support the legislation that has passed the state assembly. The federal law has now been changed so that the minimum age for the use of tobacco products is 21. That's very clear. But we need to make sure that state law is consistent with federal law so that the enforcement of the laws can be done not only by federal officials, but by state officials as well.
Attorney General Call, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Josh Call is the Attorney General of Wisconsin. Coming up, we look at the Supervised Release Program, which monitors sex offenders. Do you keep tabs on the Wisconsin Sex Offender Registry? Do you search websites that show where offenders live? We have the Supervised Release Program Section Chief with the Department of Health Services coming up right after this news update. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network.